Good morning, everybody.
Before I start, last week I went away to my daughter's wedding on the sunny coast, and I know a lot of people were praying for that. Thank you. It was a wonderful day, and it was just so nice to be warm. You know, on the Sunshine Coast, they have places where there's water and there's like yellow, it's not quite dirt, they call it sand. It's really lovely. Anyway, in as much as Stanthorpe has been dry, Sunshine Coast has been wet. It's been raining every weekend this year. And so the day for the wedding, it was just perfect. It was blue skies. It was absolutely lovely. The day we had was really good with, you know, when you get married, you enter into a family that you don't know about, and they're always inferior. I mean different. And so to be able to connect with them was really, really good. And to connect with Tasha and Ben's friends was really good as well. It was a great day. However, as most people know, I did have an oopsie. There is a long story, a medium story, and a short story. The short story is, fall down steps, grab door, put hand in door. Blood, squirt, 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 squirt. Band-aid, band-aid. Doctor, stitch, 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 stitch. Finger, break. And that's the end of the story. So that was the short version. Although I did leave out the ow, ow, oops, oops, ah, ah, frustration. So I have one hand, and this is not a sign to you. This is just as good as it gets. So I'm off to the doctor tomorrow to work with getting stitches out and working out what to do with broken bone and stuff like that. But anyway, that's beside the point. Thank you for your prayers. It was a lovely day. It was a lovely weekend. Years ago, for some reason I don't remember, living in Newcastle, and we had a meeting in Canberra. So we drove down to Canberra, and I remember leaving Canberra and wiping the dust off my feet, going past the fuel, realising I had virtually no fuel in the car, knowing I needed fuel, seeing the price of fuel, and went, I'm not paying that. I'll wait till the next place. Well, Goulburn is 90 kilometres away, and there are no servos between Canberra and Goulburn. And have you ever driven in a place of going, I've got 90 k's and my car says I've got 70 kilometres of fuel in it? And as you get closer and closer, those numbers are getting closer and closer to zero. And as you're going down hills, you're in neutral going, don't use fuel, don't use fuel. And as you're going up hills, it's like 110, it's 110 zone, okay? 100, 90, 80, 70, 60. Well, we got to Goulburn with 9 kilometres left in the tank. I thought I was very, very successful. But why do we do that? Why do we run our cars out like that? Is it inconvenience? Is it miserliness? Is that a word? Of course it is. Yeah. Why are these reasons that we run our cars down to zero? Because it's not good for them and it's not good for us. And yet that's how we roll. That's how we are. In our community, in our society, we're addicted to doing things. We're addicted to busyness. We're addicted to doing more and more and more and more and more. We're addicted to opportunity. We're addicted to innovations. We're addicted to doing too much. It's almost an idolatry. It's almost something that owns us and takes us over. There's a story of William Powers who tells a story of a friend that he had who was a new immigrant and just learning the language. Whenever they said, how are you going? The answer was always, oh, busy, very busy. And one day he said, why are you saying that? He said, because isn't that what we are supposed to say? Remember we used to say, I'm fine. I still say, yeah, I'm good. How are you? Yeah, not really good, but good. But they had learned that the right response in our society, in our community, was to say, I'm busy, I'm very busy. And that's a great reflection, I think, on our community. How are we meant to be? We're meant to be busy. We're meant to have so much on. We're meant to be pushing it. And yet that's not how we as Christians are meant to be. When we look at the Ten Commandments, what's the first commandment? Thank you, Margaret. You are successful. You win the prize. Everyone else? The first commandment is to love God with all our hearts. The second one is to not have any God before me, but me. And the third one is to never make an idol of any kind. No, I got that wrong too, and I've got the notes in front of me. Number one is love God and don't put anyone before me. Number two is don't have an idol or any image of anything. And the third one is don't misuse the name of the Lord our God. And what's the fourth commandment? Keep the Sabbath holy. God's saying that I'm first, and second, it's related to me, but we need to relate to God. That's the fourth most important thing. God first, our rest is second. It's important. God's designed us that way. And yet, is that how we actually live? Is that who we are? Hebrews chapter 4, I want to read from verse 1 to 9. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about me the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day God rested from all of his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For as Joshua had given them rest, God also would not have spoken later about another day. There remains there a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did for them, for him. In this passage, Paul is saying that the Hebrews, the Jewish people, Israel, had laws against rest, but they didn't rest. And because of their actions and because of their legalism, because of who they are, they will never enter God's rest. Paul's also saying that we can enter into God's rest, that we need to enter into God's rest. So the question is, what does this look like and how do we go about it? There's two words. One is kataporsis. Kataporsis is a known word for rest. It's stopping. It's just not doing anything, kind of. The other word for rest is sabbatimosis. And this is a God rest. This is resting in God. This is where we get the word Sabbath from. And as it talks about a Sabbath and the Sabbath. A Sabbath is us resting. The Sabbath is giving time to God. In Genesis 2:2, it says, on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from the work that he had done. In Hebrews 4:9-10, as we just read, so the Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also cease from their labours as God did from here. We're called to have a rest in ourselves. We're also called to have a rest in God. We're called to take time out just to sit with God, to rest with God, to refuel with God, to be refreshed by God, as well as stopping from our work, from what's going on in the world, from our busyness. We're called to honour God by stopping, and you'll never hear me say that again. But we're called to honour God by stopping, by resting, by refueling, refreshing ourselves. There's a purpose for the Sabbath, and we need to find that the purpose of the Sabbath is both in a spiritual aspect, but it's also in a physical aspect. There's more to it. We're called to not just stop, not just go to a church thing, but we're called to be able to sit with God, to refresh in God, whatever that may look like. When we sit with God, we're to refuel our mind, explore our creativity, step away from our normal physical labours, and to become refreshed in who we are. In talking about a Sabbath, the authors in the Bible talk about a rest or a celebration. When referring to the Sabbath, the author is talking about something that belongs to God. And we need to be able to do both of these, to reflect on both and to be able to have space for both of these in our lives. So how did Jesus keep the Sabbath? In Hebrews 9:4, as we read, Jesus talks about our Sabbath rest and how he is in our Sabbath. But when we look at Jesus, he did different things on the Sabbath. The first is he worshipped at the synagogues. The second, he taught at the synagogues. The third is he harvested grain to fulfill a need, their hunger. He also healed people to release them from bondage. And he accepted invitations to eat. Some of those things were what the Old Testament talked about, and some of them went against the laws of the Old Testament. When he gave his day to God, when he gave his time to God, it wasn't necessarily by the rules that structured and stopped him, but it was giving, being God to those around him. So how do we be that to the people around us? The Sabbath is a simple gift from God that God doesn't treat us like slaves, and that one day a week he wants us to stop, be with him, be with our friends, be with our family, and be back in the Garden of Eden with him. God wants to sit with us, to be refreshed by him, to learn more about him. When we talk about Sabbath, there's a word that's more constantly used around today, which is called self-care. And I think self-care is really important because it's not something that we talked about years ago, but we talk about a lot these days. We talk about the Sabbath. We read in Exodus 20, as we read out before, as Harry read out, it's to remember the Sabbath day, to stop our work, to focus on God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all of your work. 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In Matthew, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Old Testament version, the New Testament version. Jesus is saying, give him our burdens, give him our stresses. Taking a time to rest is to take a time out of our busy lives and be able to say, God, I can't, but you can. Jesus, it's too hard for me, but not for you. We need to take time out and give those things that are going on, which are so prominent in our minds, in our lives, and give them to God. Give them to Jesus. And to say, Jesus, please take these from us. Saint Augustine said, You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Our society doesn't accept that. It talks about how we need to be driven, how we need to be motivated, how we need to chase our goals. It talks about me fulfilling what I want. It talks about me chasing after what I think I need. There's two assumptions that are confronted by Christianity. One is we are what we do. And the second is that we are in control of our lives. We want to be in control of our lives. We want to think that. But as a Christian, we've given our lives to Jesus. As a Christian, we say to God, we are yours. Can we be your people? Can we walk in your strength? Millennials are obsessed with self-care. They're obsessed with caring about what they want, what they need. Millennials generally are chasing after what they feel they need recreationally and in themselves. And as Christians, we're constantly in conflict with what I want, what I need, what I feel I need, and what God's calling us to. We have a confusion because when we say self-care, we actually sort of say, but aren't I a servant of God? Aren't I a slave of God? Don't I have to give him everything? We're called as Christians to give up our lives to give it with God. And in some ways, that self-care feels as if it's not right, that we shouldn't be like that because we have to give everything to God. And yet, isn't self-care enabling us to give ourselves to God? When God calls us to care for those around us, don't we first have to care for ourselves? When we care for those who are in need, don't we first have to walk in who we are first? Many Christians have a complicated relationship with the concept of self-care. But without self-care, we collapse. God says to rest. God says to have a Sabbath because he understands that we are human, that we're not God, that we don't have the capacity to be perfect. We don't have the capacity to be 200%, 200% of the time. Jesus recognizes that the burdens of the world are too hard for us. The suffering in the world is too difficult for us to understand. And we need to give it to him and to take a step away. So, where are you with this? Are you running on a full tank? Are you running on a half tank? Or is your fuel light on? There's certain things that we know about vehicles. And the more we know about vehicles, I believe, the more we know about cars, the more we get in trouble. The more we think we can fix something, the more messy things become. But we sort of go, yeah, I know what my car can do. I can take that risk. But what if that risk doesn't turn out? There's a few things that we can learn. There's things that about a car running out of fuel is kind of the same as us. The first thing, we need to listen to the warning light on our car. Hey? Yep, great picture. We need to listen to our warning light. We can look at our warning light and say, yeah, that gives me 60 Ks. I can do this. It's okay. We can have our light come on saying check engine and we go, it's nothing, it'll be fine. At the wedding last week, Tash bought a car for her wedding because it was going to cost the same to buy a car as it was to actually hire a car. Sometimes you've got to be proud of your children. So she bought a PT Cruiser. If people know what they are, they look really cool. Are they? Doesn't matter. It was a convertible, looks like an old hot rod, looks cool. That's where it ends. So anyway, I got in it because I had to move it around to drive her to the wedding. Got in it and it went, ruh, ruh, tick, 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 tick. And I remember her saying, I've put a new battery in it. And I'm going, it must be okay. Ruh, ruh, run, da, 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 da. And I went, oh, it's running, don't turn it off. So blah, 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 I move around. Parked it around the front, smell oil light on. I'm saying, dear Jesus, we just need to get to the wedding. I so don't care what happens after that. Just get us to the wedding. Turned it off, went in, came back out, got back in it, and Tash is in the back and she says, oh, Dad, when you turn it on to on before you turn it on to start. And I went, okay. Ring, straight away. It's like, what? So we started driving off and I'm thinking, I don't want her to have extra stress. Don't tell her about the oil light. So we're driving just around the corner down the highway, and the oil light comes on. I went, oh. And she says randomly, oh, yeah, and the oil light comes on sometimes. Don't worry about it. Worrying. On the dashboard, there's an oil light, ABS light, brake light, check engine light. I'm like, please just get me to the end of the road. She says, oh, don't worry about the oil light. It's a sensor. I filled it up, made sure the oil filled up before we came yesterday. It's all fine. It's all fine. I'm going, this is not okay. But she knew what she was dealing with. And to be fair, she was like, all I have to do is get through the wedding. I don't care about the next day either. So it was okay because she knew it. We took that risk. But in us, do we listen to the warning lights? Do we listen to the warning signs? Or do we just keep going? Because when we take the risk, there's consequences for the risk. If we know our car has got so many Ks left, but it just happens to be driving from Warwick to Stanthorpe, which is uphill the whole way, we don't get the kilometres that we normally do. And do you know what? When a car runs out of fuel, it's never in a convenient place. Have you noticed that? It always runs out of fuel just around the corner where it's a blind corner, just at the darkest part of the road, in a 110 zone, not in a 60 zone. We run that risk of where it stops, but also we run the risk of what happens. Running a car tank, fuel tank low is really bad for your motor. All the gungy bad bits that sit at the end, bottom of the fuel tank get sucked up into your motor. And what happens then? Bad things. It may not be, I'm seeing a couple of people looking at their husbands and wives going, I've told you this before. Now the pastor's telling you about mechanical stuff. You got to listen. But it does do bad things to your car. May not be the first time. It may not be the second time. But it does do bad things. And you know what the really crazy thing? Fixing it is simple. All we got to do is put petrol in the car. It's not that hard. You know, I worked out the other day that saving 20 cents a litre over 10 litres costs what? $2. It's a third of a coffee to take away all of that stress. Because how much stress goes into, will I make it to the next servo? Will I make it around this corner? How much stress is in that? What value do you put on stress? Maybe it's worth the $2 of fuel to say, I'm safe, I can get there easily. And how is that related to our lives? We like to be busy. We like to keep going. We like to fill our minds and fill our heads. And we keep going and we keep going. We like to keep doing what we feel that we need to do to make others happy. So we ignore the warning lights and we just keep going. And then what? Then we live with the consequences, whatever that may be. When God's talking about resting, he's not just talking about stopping. A really important word is refueling. How do we refuel? If a car is low on fuel and we stop it, does that solve the problem? It just puts the problem tomorrow, and then tomorrow's got a big problem. If we just stop and turn off, we don't fix the problem. We just hide it until the next bit comes along. We need to learn how to refuel, how to get our strength from God, how to get our strength from who he is and what he wants to do in us and through us. We need to care for those around us. But in order to care for those around us, first we need to care for ourselves. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love others. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Really strange. And love others as yourself. If we don't love ourselves, we can't love our neighbor. If we're not looking after ourselves, we can't look after those around us. We can't do what we want to do because we're broken. We wear ourselves out. Jesus and his disciples didn't say yes to everything. They didn't live the mantra, find a need and fill it. Not every need represents God's will for my life. The right needs, the need to be filled, but not all needs. God understands that we aren't capable of fixing every problem. And God doesn't call us to fix every problem. God calls us to fix the problems that he's leading us into. He's calling us to help those who he's calling us to help. There's so many needs in our community. We as individuals cannot fix all of them. We as a church cannot fix all of them. But God has those places in front of us that we can fix. And it's up to us to be able to hear from God as to where to go, what differences to make, and how we can help those around us. We are a part of the body of Christ, and we need to learn how to be the body of Christ. That if I can't fix it, someone else can. That if we as a church can't fix it, then the rest of the body of Christ can. The worst thing we can do is to say, I am the only one who can fix this. Because you know what? You are not Jesus. I am not Jesus. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in us. But we are not Jesus. We are not perfect. We are not immortal. We are not eternal. We are not God. All we can do is what God's called us to do. And when it gets a bit hard, and it will, we cast our burdens on Jesus and allow him to be able to take that stress away. In order to care for others, we are best being able to care for others when we have cared for our own physical health. We need to look after our physical body. We need to look after who we are as people. We need to exercise. We need to eat right. We need to sleep well. When we have cared for our own mental health, we need to look after who we are. We need to realize what our capacity is. We need to look after ourselves first. When we have cared for our own spiritual health, we need to look after our spiritual health. We need to spend time with God and get refueled and strengthened in him. And when we have cared for our relational health, we need to be able to say sorry. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to be able to walk in restoration and transformation. Our challenge is on us to be the best people that we can be so that then we can connect with others around us and be Jesus to them. But to be honest, our temptation is not to work too hard for God most of the time. Our temptation is to put ourselves first. Our temptation is to love ourselves, to do what I want, to chase after my goals, to chase after what I feel. We need to be able to find that place of serving God and giving our lives to God, but also to be able to know what we need as people, as I need as a person. We need to know that God loves me, but God loves others as well. And God wants to use me to serve and care for others. Luke 12, 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. God cares for me, God cares for you. And God cares for every person in our community, in our town, in our region. God cares for them, loves them, and wants to connect with them. And God will work through us in that space. But in that place, if we're not looking after ourselves, we can't. We need to find that place of chasing after what God wants of us, but then chasing after God for who we are in him. So how do we go about all this? Firstly, spiritually. Spiritually, we need to look after ourselves. We need to be spending time in the Word. Thank you, Harry, for last week. We need to be spending time meditating on God's Word, hearing His Word, speaking His Word over and over and over again. We need to spend our time in worship. We need to be putting God in His place, reminding us of who He is, being thankful for what He's done. We need to be a people of prayer who are constantly going to him, seeking him out, chasing after who he is. We need to be people who are looking after our spirits, who are strengthening our spirits each and every day. We need to look after our mental health. We need to realise that we need to take a break mentally from what's going on around us. We need to find a place of refueling and strengthening our mental health. We need to just not say, oh, I'll be fine, but we need to learn how to look after ourselves. We need to look after our emotional health. Our emotions are real and they're true and they're in all of us. We need to be in touch with our emotions to not allow our emotions to define us or to dictate us, but realize that God gave us emotions, that we are emotional people, and we need to be able to look after our emotions as we can. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We need to be able to take our emotions, our feelings, what's going on to God and allow him to be able to work with us in that. And we need to look after our physical body. We need to rest. We need to realize we can't do 24/7 every day, every week. We need to rest. We need to take time out. The frustration is that we feel as if we need to give 100% every day, and we can't sustain that. We need to be able to know that Jesus took time out to sit and to stop. Jesus took time out to rest with the disciples. He took time out to sit on a hill and to pray with his Father. Jesus took time out, and if he needs to take time out, then I think that's a good model for us. We need to learn how to refuel, to refresh. We need to learn how to stop. We need to listen to the warning signs that are going on around us and to respond to the warning signs, not just to realize that they're there. So how are you going? How's your fuel gauge? You're running on full, half a tank? I won't even go down the other part. How do you refuel? How do you refuel physically? How do you refuel emotionally? How do you refuel spiritually? We can take the day off. We can sit in a room reading a book and be okay. But is that refueling our spirit? Is that refueling who we are? How do we become more and more like Jesus? Not just in the doing, but in the being. How do we become more and more like Jesus? And how do we trust him to walk in us, through us, and with us? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that although you didn't need to rest, you rested. Father God, thank you in creation that you stopped and you rested. And Father, thank you that you tell us over and over and over again to rest, to refuel, to refresh in you. Jesus, thank you that you say, put our burdens on you. Thank you that when things are too hard, they're not too hard for you. And thank you that you will and you do take those pressures from us. Father, thank you that we are a part of the body. And that we're called to do what we're called to do, and you can look after the rest. Father, thank you that you are our God, that we are your people, that we walk in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.